We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
I mean, football-wise, I actually didn't see a whole pile of football, I would say, because I was out yesterday. But I saw all the highlights, and really, there wasn't much to talk about. So,
nope.
Maybe the League Cup. Take over the League Cup if you wish. Yeah.
Well, that might be a nice starting point, actually, right? Because I really, just to say, it was really nice to be on the outside looking in on the podcast that you guys recorded for the Super League. Mm-hmm. It was really nice to not be either like cringing listening back to myself, but also I felt that, you know, you raised some very astute points. just on the League Cup final, that is exactly what we would see week in, week out if it came to be. Like, that final was crap. Teams like Spurs are not good enough to compete in the league or the League Cup or in Europe, and you're going to throw them in against far more elite sides, and we'd see that drivel like 85 minutes defending every week. Is that entertaining? I don't think so.
No, yeah, the answer is no.
It's an interesting point that I hadn't really thought of, actually, but
because I just to build on it too, sorry to interrupt that, Handy, just to build on it. The most boring games I've watched this season have been Chelsea United back in February, Arsenal United, that 0-0 draw, City United, which was again 0-0, and there was a Chelsea City game, I think, that was a draw. Anyway, they've all been really dull, very, very dull.
Yeah, for all this talk of
and we're supposed to be sold football. That this is the elite league? Get it.
Well, Ole is a fraud. I think we've established that from what you just said.
Yeah, basically. I digressed a little bit to summarize Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Terrible manager.
See you next week on the podcast.
Yeah. And now to our sponsors.
I love Glazers. How we had Dave and Mannix on and they didn't even get a chance to like argue that point because there was so much other shit going on in football.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. Yeah, but I have to say, fair play to Mannix and Dave. It was a good podcast.
You must have been sickened to miss that one.
Yeah, because like I'll tell you why I'm even more sickened. It's because it's kind of fizzled out now. So like me getting all hot under the collar about it right now seems a bit, you know, OTT. Whereas I am still quite, you know, I've got some steam to let off about it in case you haven't noticed. But yeah, I was a bit puked.
Yeah, let off the steam and we'll cut it from the thing so people don't have to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what you do every podcast, isn't it? Yeah, edit out, Kieran. Yeah, no, I think, you know, I see in the fallout, I saw a lot of people say about, UEFA and FIFA aren't any better, which is true. But I think it's better the devil you know. At least we know the shit that they're up to. And there's regulations to it somewhat. I don't think there was any, like, some mystery behind the whole Super League. And this the guy Perez is senile. Absolutely no question. The guy's gone mad. 16 to 24 year olds don't watch football. It's like, ouch. Personally hit there. I mean, that's all I did between 16 and 24 was watch football.
No, well, you're not 16 to 24 now, though.
Yeah, I know. But
what do 16 to 24 year olds do now? So
masturbate.
Yeah,
free. Yeah, but no, probably more than likely.
Yeah.
They walk around town, from what I can see. Anytime I'm out, it's just youths everywhere. Gangs and gaggles of youths.
I saw an interesting point actually about, and it's probably this whole, you know, the older generations, you know, think down on the younger ones. But I heard an interesting point where, I don't know, even think back to our kind of, when we were that age, teenagers or late teens, in terms of like groups of people, it was probably around sport and music, right? You'd have separations between groups depending on what sport you played or what music you listened to. There's a lot of basically the person was saying that like it seems to be all kind of meshed into one now. Like, you don't really see the same, what you'd see, like, I don't know, metalheads, you know, rugby heads and people that played, you know, football. It seems to be that they all kind of dress similar. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that. It's all kind of like tracksuit stuff.
I guess we're not there, so we don't notice it so much, but I bet it's more like, now it's more like the gamers or the people who are into like the influencers, and then there's the sporty people, and maybe you're right that music isn't such a thing, but I'm sure it's still there. We just, I mean, we're not, well, I say we're not in schools every day. Most people aren't in schools every day. I'm actually not in schools every day. I'm in primary schools. A primary school, you'd have no identity. You're just a little stupid kid. Like,
yeah, so. That's true. Probably better off.
Better off what?
Having no identity.
Okay. Did you have an identity actually in primary school or in secondary school?
In secondary school, I was talking about this the other day. The way I didn't think I was in any group, any social group. Like, there'd be the group of like the ga heads, and there'd be the group of like the emo crowd. And I never felt like I was in any of these. I just thought like we were like normal. But then I think at like the grads or something, the tables were divided up into groups, and the groups were named like ga heads, fucking emos or whatever, and like we were at the table called the drinkers.
Stop, really?
I think so. I definitely remember at some point the group we were in was referred to as the drinkers.
I was at your table at the grads as well.
It all makes sense.
You have to drink a lot to be known as the drinkers amongst teenage Irish people.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad enough. That's pretty good going.
I thought I was a music guy.
No, you were a drunkard. That's how people saw you.
Still am.
To be fair, yeah.
Like, that's it. If you don't play guitar, you can't be a musician. So,
yeah, nothing else is cool. And if you can play guitar and sing, well, you're walking on water, baby.
Oh, yeah. I remember anyone who ever came to see my band, I'd be like, now tell me I'm a bigger rock star than Brian Skelly. They'd be like, all right, you are. I'd have him in a corner after the gig being like, tell me.
Fucking hell. Well, all those people who spent time learning guitar, I mean, it was a waste of time now. Sure, guitars are lame. No one wants to play the fucking guitar.
Is that true?
They should have spent their time learning how to DJ. That's what kids like, isn't it? DJs?
Oh, yeah. I'd say code. If you can code, you're just the coolest person ever. Even though it's not music, but still.
People throwing their fucking underwear at coders.
Yeah. There's clubs called like Kodo Dojo where they learn to code, and it's like the coolest.
And so these coders are just going around riding loads of groupies like,
yeah, 00101010. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All the guy heads now are just fucking lame. Like,
yeah, it's a Stack Overflow in my trousers.
Something about Python in your trousers too.
Nice. That might have been better.
Yeah, I think they were both good. Virtual high five us.
Both brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, the grads and devs were just weird. You know, we obviously don't need to go into details, but like, just a weird setup. You know, everyone is awkward. No one really wants to be there, but everyone kind of has to do it. It's a bit like a wedding that, I don't know, from a distant relative.
Yeah. I don't like these formal celebrations, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I had a lot of fun after the grads, where we went to a house somewhere and just went crazy. I don't think I really had that much fun at the actual venue. It was just kind of, like you said, cringy, kind of like meh food. Then people dance after. Dancing.
No.
Yeah, it's just.
But I remember like a huge circles forming. Like, do you know if you went to nightclubs or something, a lot of times what would happen is if people were too sober, if it was early on in the night or something, friends would just form a circle. Like, they would form like circling the wagons to protect themselves. they would form a circle, like four or five people, and just kind of dance in the circle with each other, not dancing with anyone in particular. And I thought at the grads, that happened on like a massive scale, where there was like 50 people in circles dancing with no one. Like, that's what I saw anyway.
I don't really remember anything like that.
I remember I was like, this is like a fucking barn dance or something, like a line dance. It's like in like Pride and Prejudice, if you ever see those kind of movies where like people take up positions and they kind of walk towards each other and then walk away and then circle around.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a polite mosh pit of Friends. I don't remember it though at all.
You burnt yourself on a cigar or something, didn't you?
Yeah. No, but I don't remember the
I just have a photographic memory of every minute of the grass.
I thought that was my birthday you did that, no? Or was that the grass?
Well, I think, yeah, the cigar was the birthday, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That really hurt.
All right. Well, sorry for bringing it up then.
It did. No, it really did. I mean, I still think back. When I tell the story to people, it's very 50-50. Some people say it's entirely your fault. You're an idiot. Look what you put in your mouth, which I guess is right. But the other half is like, no, someone put a lit cigar into your mouth. I don't know where I sit with it. Just know that Handy's cupboard full of Bongella was like the best thing ever for me. Tough times.
Before we move completely off football, do you mind if we just have a quick little natter about the new Champions League stuff?
Yeah, yep. Go on.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Well, I'm not prepared now. I was hoping someone would say, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll tell you all about it. So, new Champions League format. It's
like, oh, no, what have I done?
Because do you know what? The reason I ask is because I have no fucking clue what the changes are, and I've actually looked it up already.
Yeah, I don't really know.
You don't know either. And Kieran, do you know?
No, but I know that it's basically a watered down version of what these teams that were looking to defect away from UEFA wanted, really. So that's why they're all so quiet now.
I think the interesting thing is that it's actually kind of not, because there's more teams involved. So it's going from 32 teams to 36 teams. But it won't be in groups anymore. It'll be like one big table. So I have no idea how that works. And I think top half will play top half teams and bottom half will play bottom half teams. Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason a lot of clubs are against it now is because, number one, you're going to have probably worse teams than are already in it playing in it again, whereas what they actually want is to up the quality and get rid of some of the lesser known teams, if you want to put it that way. But also that there will be more games. So especially in England, where they already have two cup competitions and, say, a European competition that they might be in, that they'll now have more games in that competition. So I think it'll be going from 6 games to 10 games or something like that.
Yeah.
So
I don't really, it's the same with the Euros and the World Cup. Expanding those, I don't particularly like it, because like you said, I think it waters down the quality. I know it gives more opportunities, but like, there really is a big gap between who are currently in the Champions League and, you know, who aren't, and there's a reason for that. But I just had a quick look on UEFA. What does the new Champions League format mean for fans, which is probably important to us? More opportunities to see Europe's top teams playing each other early in the competition. Like, that's not really a big selling point for me. I don't really care if I see Juventus versus Barcelona in the group stages or the knockout stages.
Mm-hmm. Knockout. I care in the knockout because it really means a lot. And I probably couldn't find the energy to care about the meeting multiple times early in the season for something that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like you said, that was probably one of the main big flaws with that Super Cup thing, is that these so-called big matches will probably lose meaning fairly quickly when they're happening all the time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but when Arsenal play Spurs or Liverpool play United in the league, which we see twice a season at the minimum, they're still big games to me. So, I don't know.
Do you know what? And I thought about that, and I really do agree with what you're saying, but I think they seem bigger because they're among a lot of other not that important games. I think if you had constant every week, like your opponents were Man United, Real Madrid, Arsenal, Tottenham, Liverpool, I think you'd be like, fucking hell, that's intense. That's an intense run. If you had that all year, every year, I think, yeah. I mean, if you ask them to play Burnley, you'd be like, why the fuck would I do that? What about that game?
Or maybe you'd watch it to see your team hammer a team for once.
That's also an interesting point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Burnley is a bad example. Burnley, you know, they're putting 3-4 goals past teams this year, it seems. Palace, Wolves.
Yeah.
They beat Arsenal, they beat Liverpool, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but it was jamming.
It was pretty jammy, yeah.
I don't even count it.
I mean, but they had such a shit start to the season. They had like one of the worst first halves of the season that they've had.
Yeah.
Because there was talk of him, Sean Dyche leaving and everything.
Well, depressingly, he's one of the favourites to take over from Hodgson. ask me how that makes me feel.
Well, before I do, I would say you'd be fucking blessed to have Sean Dyche at your club. You would be blessed.
Really?
Do you think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Not at all. I think he's an unbelievable manager. He's spent like a grand total of probably £2 in the fucking 8 years or whatever he's been in the league.
And got what for it?
Stayed in the league with shocking players and a shocking team.
Yeah.
Well, he got relegated.
There's a difference.
Yeah, he also got into Europe.
They got knocked out in the qualifiers, though, didn't they?
Well, yeah, he did.
Well, it still counts. You know, they got a
does
trip.
It? Everton got knocked out in the qualifiers of the Champions League that, you know, years ago. Jeez, that's a long time
ago. Yeah, I'm sure from 2024. Everyone and their mother will be in the Champions League anyway, be in Europe. I know. So like,
and they're introducing a new European League, the Conference League. Every team Conference in Europe's going to be in a fucking European competition soon.
Yeah. I know it's not exactly, it's not real life or whatever, but like Football Manager, when I play Football Manager, into the future, the Conference League has some ludicrous teams winning it. Like it really is teams in England that finished ninth getting into Europe and just hammering some lads from Lithuania for 6 months. But hey, silverware.
Can I just ask,
right?
Arsenal?
Why would you not want Sean Dyche as your manager?
Because I don't think it's a forward step. And at this point, as a Palace fan, who's had to go through a lot of very, very safe years with very conservative transfers and very conservative tactics, you know, winning, you know, 3 or 4 games on the bounce just to ensure, you know, some sort of survival. And then kind of the players checking out on holiday, like post February, because they know they're safe and not really playing. And to get that, to kind of ensure that safety and ensure that safe tactic, we've basically got a bunch of mercenaries is probably the wrong word, but like absolutely no desire or care to play for Palace, which has always been our thing. It's always been like, you know, you know, die for the shirt kind of thing. Whereas now it's just, you know, they'll overpay us because they're desperate. It's a London club. So we get to live in London for a few years. We'll get overpaid and then we'll move on. And that's what guarantees us 13th to 15th every year. And I just think that Sean Dyche would do the same, but instead of Sacco's, it would be Ben Mee's. And it's just not fun as a fan.
All right.
Okay. I mean, Like, I think he'd be actually good for Palace if he got him. I think it would be a very secure appointment, that it would secure you in the Premier League for the next few years. And, you know, it's always good to think of, you know, a manager that likes to play possession football or attacking football or something like that. But as we know, not every team can do that, and certainly not overnight. And, you know, you could get in, I don't know. You could get in a manager who wants to do that and get rid. Oh my God. Imagine. Well, would you take Mourinho?
That's a good question, but he did say jokingly, I'd say, but he did say he loves London and he loves Palace. So
imagine, years ago saying, like, no, I don't want Mourinho at Palace.
Yeah, I know, right? He's just gone so off the rails. I guess that's the other thing we can start talking about, is Mourinho getting sacked by Spurs. Like, we were in agreement that was the wrong decision. Do you think it's linked into the Super League stuff, or was that just an excuse to kind of ship him out?
Super League shit had nothing to do with it, I don't think. I don't know where that came from. Mannix was sharing stories in the chat. I was like, I don't believe this for a second.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it did the circuits, right? I mean, it was rumored.
The only reason I don't think they should have sacked him is because they had a cup final in a week's time, and the only reason you bring in Mourinho is for games like cup final, and he's the only man to have ever beaten Pep in a cup final.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Apart from that, I don't think it was that outrageous to have sacked him.
Yeah, it was the timing of it, because it seemed to anyone that it was because of the Super League, because it was like the day after that was announced. It was the morning after, like hours later, Mourinho was gone. So it seemed that it was absolutely because of that. But then people were saying it was actually done a few days ago and the announcement was only then. So maybe they did the announcement then so that kind of like went under the radar or something, like it didn't get as much of the news coverage as it should have. But I mean, they could have just waited a week, really, couldn't they? Yeah,
exactly, because I felt it was kind of bad, actually. Did you guys see that Sky Sports, wasn't it, or was it BT Sports that showed the final? But it had like managerial comparisons between Pep Guardiola and Ryan Mason.
That was a big take. Yeah.
Dickheads.
Well, imagine if he had won, like his games to cup ratio would be unbelievable.
Yeah, two games, two wins, one trophy. He could just retire.
Done. Yeah. A David Nugent.
Jesus.
Fucking Leicester at one point had Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, Chris Wood, all playing for them, and David Nugent started ahead of all of them.
Yeah,
Harry Kane had a few loans. All right, he was at Millwall as well, I think.
Was it? Yeah, or Norwich. He was at one of them anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, Leighton Orient, Spurs.
I'm Millwall, still not convinced Norwich, by him, Leicester. By the way. He's a six by season.
Well. Yeah, we have to give him some sort of, kind of stick too. He's a bit like Rashford, that he kind of needs to take a little bit of a break to heal himself. He seems to come back every game after an injury, of like a 2-day injury, and limp around the pitch for 60 minutes. Like, surely that's not smart. It's not an intelligent footballer, is it?
Nope.
No, and it's the second cup final that they've been to that he's been injured beforehand, and probably forced the manager's hand into playing him, and playing pretty badly, to be honest.
I'll never forget Simeone playing Diego Costa in the Champions League final when he was injured and he had to come off after like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Waste of a substitution.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
I mean,
but before we do, if I can, did you see Son cried after the game, after losing?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Finally, you can be, you know, the whole meme thing of cheers, Son's crying.
Oh.
Woo-hoo.
They said it as well, the commentators.
We did. Did they?
I think they did. Ah. Like sounds cool.
They beat us to it again.
Yeah, I can't take it seriously when they talk about you know, the Leeds player cock, and they say it with such vigor, and it's cock. Fucking every time yeah. I giggle,
commentators must love it as like a release valve, because they're probably holding in anything slightly out of line. Like they have to be on their toes the whole time, yeah, and not say 100%. Anything.
Yeah,
but I do think people click into like that kind of mentality. Like I'm sure you do it if you're at work, that, you know, just that sense of, okay, I can't just say whatever I want here. I can't say fuck or but shit. You
definitely can't. Fucking no, I in front of can't. Children.
I've done it though. I've done it by accident.
Oh really?
Really?
By accident. Yeah, but the thing is, if you say it, you just have to keep going. It's like you drop it and they're kind of like, did I just hear that? But if you keep talking, they forget about it.
Do you remember how in school, the teachers, when they wanted to talk to each other and not have us know what they were saying, they would talk in Irish?
Yeah.
Bad indictment of how well they were teaching Irish, I would say.
Very true. Yeah. We were in Rome just before the first lockdown, and there was someone next. We were in a restaurant and there was someone next to us. And I forget what I was trying to say, but I started saying something to Sonia in Irish about this couple next to us. Now, my Irish is like terrible. I did pass Irish and I have gotten worse since. And I was like, oh, Ta and Colleen, like the girl next to me is saying something about this or whatever. Sure, fucking turned out. Your one turned to us and started talking to us and was like, oh, I noticed you're Irish. I was like, oh, they're Irish too.
Did they know you were talking about them?
I can't imagine they didn't, because I was right next to them talking in Irish about them. I forget what I said, but it was really cringe.
But knowing how poorly Irish is taught, she probably didn't understand what you were saying. Just kind of was like, yeah, that sounds Irish.
Unless it was like the national anthem or something.
But it would have, like, I'm so bad, it would have been like really elementary Irish. Like, with some English thrown in to make it make sense.
But I didn't learn Irish in school, but I was in like the foundation class, like, because I had to attend the classes and didn't have to take any exams. But like, Christ almighty, it was bad. Like, it was just so...
I mean, you must have seen it, because you would be there with people, teenagers, who had been learning Irish their whole lives, and the classes would have been like, dog, cat, hello.
Yeah, it was like writing a postcard, which I know is like the standard language exam, isn't it? You know, write a letter to your pen pal or whatever. But like, the teacher was literally trying to get these bunch of lads who clearly couldn't give a shit, trying to memorize, like, you know, hello. My name is, I went to the beach yesterday. Tomorrow, I will go to the shop. It was just...
I honestly don't think I could even say that in Irish.
Yeah, it's like, but that's the thing. That's what amazed me. That's like... that's
Conas the Tattoo.
Were you in my class as well? Did you do pass?
I think I dropped down to pass like the day, like a week before I actually sat the exam or something.
Yeah.
Because I had no hope whatsoever. The only reason I got it anywhere at all was learning off poems, you know, by heart or whatever. But like, I had no concept of the language whatsoever.
No, but like, this is, I think, whatever about Irish, the Leaving Cert in general, and I know everyone says it, but it's such a terrible way to judge how someone's life will turn out. And I know the Leaving Cert isn't everything, I know that. But inevitably, if you get 300 points in Leaving Cert, or if you get 500 points in Leaving Cert, it is going to affect, you know, the next 10 years of your life, probably. And the fact that it's basically, like, if you go to a private school, not dissing anyone who goes to a private school, but if you go to a private school, they just give you essays to learn off for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in school, you're taught in a different way. In those schools, they just drill the same shit into you over and over and over and over again. And that's your 500 odd points. It's not to do with who's smartest or who's best or who's the most hardworking even. It's just, this is what it is. You've paid 6 grand for the private school and here you go. These are your essays, and one of them will get you through the day.
I loved, well, I just want to say I loved any class, but I preferred English over any other class because it was more open, that there was not a set answer a lot of the time, in the same way that in mathematics, which I could never cope with, because mathematics was about learning formulas and systems off, and you, if you got a number wrong, like if you didn't understand how to do like long division very well, you hadn't a hope. But with English, at least you could sort of, you didn't have to be able to do it exactly a certain way, and you can write different sentences, you can come up with different things. I liked it because, you know, it was some use of my fucking brain rather than being a fucking computer. And which, by the way, like, we did end up all having calculators in our pockets. Stupid teachers. Anyway.
But that's it. There's still some creativity to, like, the short story writing in English. Like, if I asked you to write a short story, you could still do it. If I asked you that formula minus B over, you know, that fucking formula.
That's a good point.
I mean, I don't remember, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing too, is that, like, the way that we were taught sometimes too, and I don't know if the place that we went to, whether it was average, below average, above average in Irish standards, to be honest, I don't think it's probably redundant too. But some of the ways that we were taught some of the subjects that are a bit more like, you know, there's one right answer, was just so poor. It was always just like, go figure it out. It's like, but I clearly can't. Unless you have your brain wired in a certain way, these things don't entirely make sense.
Yeah. I was telling you before about, we were in history class, and the way they used to teach us history, the teacher was, you'd have to learn off pages. Like pages and pages and pages, 10 pages every few days. And then she'd go around the class and ask each person in turn to like read out a paragraph, and then it'd be like the next paragraph off by heart. And if you didn't do it, you'd have to write it out like 5 or 6 times. The worst possible way to teach anyone anything is that kind of bullshit. You're not learning anything. I can't fucking remember any of it. And like, I liked history apart from that, because history was almost a bit like English, which is a bit weird, but it's like there's a bit of storytelling involved in it. There's a bit of interpretation and a bit of arguing a point rather than cut and dried formulas and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I hate it. I could not believe that was the way of teaching people.
Yeah, well, it isn't. completely lazy. But I think if you think back to like the subjects you either did best in, or the kind of topics that you still enjoy, for me anyway, back in school, like the subjects I did well in were the teachers that were the soundest and the most engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you that it could be the most complex shit to anyone, but if you've got someone who cares and has a interesting way of teaching you, you will listen regardless. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to think that like teachers were smart people. Like, I used to think even the bad teachers, the really strict teachers, the ones who were no crack at all, who were just used to yell at people, you know, I used to think that even though they're assholes, that they knew what they were talking about, or they knew what they were doing, that they, you know, they were smart. And now I realize they were fucking morons, and that a lot of people become teachers without a fucking clue what they're doing and end up teaching people.
Yeah. And do you know what, one shitty thing about teachers, and I don't know the exact details of it, but I know that if a teacher gets in a job, it's really fucking hard to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once they have their hours, they have to really fuck up to lose them. Once they're permanent hours, like, some of the teachers that we had, to be honest, it was a lot of the older teachers we had who probably got their jobs in like the 70s or 80s, when there was no like qualification or whatever. They just, like, there were qualifications. Yeah, they showed up and they fucking taught the way they thought was best. And that's what they did for the next 40 years of their life. They were the worst teachers, but they couldn't get rid of them because they've been there for 30 years and they're, you know, whatever the word is.
I'm sure a lot of people became teachers with good intentions, and then after maybe like 6 months of working with some students probably just crushed them, but they couldn't do anything else. Like they had to keep going.
What I would say from my experience is, I remember when I started teaching, thinking I'd be like the cool, relatable young teacher. Like, teenagers are so fucking hard to deal with, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You can be as sound as you like, and they can be as sound as they like. But ultimately, like, what we were like when we were 14 to 17 is not what you think it was. We were moody. We were miserable. Even if we laughed, it probably wasn't obvious. Like, a teacher makes a joke and the kids are just sat there looking like it's miserable. And I cannot say it's so hard to relate to kids when you're anything over 25.
I probably didn't relate to them when I was 13.
But, you know, the teachers that we all thought were like sound or cool or whatever, they were probably like, God, these lads are fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Or it was just so much work for them. Like, every day, it's like, all right, gotta be positive, gotta be smiling, gotta make sure I get my, you know, the right notes done. Like, fuck that. Kids aren't worth it.
Yeah. And like, what's the, but like, going back to what I said, what happens then? Because I always thought, like, if a teacher goes in to teach a junior cert science class, say, it must be so stressful because you've got 30 kids, say, and probably five of them are really going to struggle to get all this stuff. There's probably 15 who are going to get a handy, and then there's the kids in between who will probably just get it. And you'd be stressing about those five kids, and like, if they fail, what does it reflect on me? Teachers actually don't really give a shit, because even if those five kids fail, the way the curriculum is, it's like, well, there's always going to be people fail. Now, if you have 30 kids fail, there might be a microscope somewhere look at you, but actually you're probably still not going to get fired. So like, being a teacher is the jammiest job, if you can get the right teaching job, I should say.
The whole idea of grading on I forget the exact name of it, but grading based on the results of other people, like, that there has to be certain amounts of like A's and there has to be a certain amount of people fail. Now that is monstrously stupid.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I first started like learning about the junior cert and leaving cert, that you could do an A plus paper, but because the percentage couldn't have too many A's, you'd get marked down. Like, what?
I know.
Crazy.
That's why, I
absolutely
mean,
absolutely crazy.
Should always recheck these papers. Send them all off to get fucking rescored, because someone at some point was going over papers and like, they've met their quota, so they can't give any more marks or some shit.
Yeah. Well, I could be quoted wrong on this, but I think I've got the general idea correct. Is that the origins of exams was in ancient China, when it was like to do with skills. And there was such a heavy, like a high demand for, you know, getting, I mean, I guess they were only small classes or small groups that these kind of masters would teach skills in. And because it was such a high demand for it, like, this fella just came up with the idea of just making like an impossible exam to just, you know, get rid of the weak. And it would only mean that there, you get like one or two people that were actually successful, and it could be managed better. And it just feels like that a lot with school exams too, is that it's not to be productive and to actually learn, it's to memorize, but also to put you into different brackets of, I guess, failure or not, you know, top grades, I suppose, just so that you can't have everyone going to Trinity and studying medicine.
But Well, I was just going to say how some people just have no interest in the majority of subjects, and like, they just want to do geology or dentistry or something, and they have to score these points in fucking history and English and Irish, and they have to score high in them if they want to become a dentist. Whereas in some countries, they do it like, you choose fairly early what kind of path you want to go down. which probably has its problems as well, because at fucking 14, you haven't got a clue what you're going to do. And whatever choice you make, you're probably going to regret when you get older. But at least you're not, if you plan on becoming a dentist, you're not there studying fucking Irish for 4 years and then getting like denied access to college to learn how to be a dentist because you couldn't recite the national anthem.
Yeah, like that's the other thing too, is that like it's pretty ludicrous, because there's the whole argument of, oh well, it shows that you can retain information and have, you know, thought and process things and think critically. And I always think it's like, I think that's just wrong. Learning challenges that might not be, you know, very good across the board, but could memorize things like, you know, team stadiums and team capacities because it's something they're interested in. So like a dentist, does a dentist need to know when the Battle of Hastings was, or does he need to know which tooth he should take out?
But you know, there's different types of intelligence, and there's also different ways of learning. So like, there's like reading, writing intelligence, there's maths, there's spatial awareness, there's musical, there's nature, there's all these different types of intelligence. And then, like I said, some people learn visually. So like pictures in a book will help. Some people like to hear it. Some people like to read it. Some people are kinesthetic learners, so they need to do things. But sure, in school, you're just fucking given a list of things to learn off and that's it. And if you're not reading, writing, or if you're not good at maths, if you're another kind of learner, good luck getting your fucking leaving cert points. But that's how it's been for years and years and years, and it's not going to change.
No.
A grim future awaits the human race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meritocracy doesn't exist.
I'm here working 40 hours a week, flat out saving to put Ollie through that schooling system in a few years' time.
Oh,
great.
Sorry. Yeah. He'll be grand. Woo-hoo.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, this is it.
He'll be grand because we're woke as fuck about it.
Yeah, it's true. Exactly.
Yeah, I just pull him out of school. I'll homeschool him.
Adrian will give him a passing grade in music.
Absolutely, yeah. Don't worry. You can teach him all the history that I don't know.
Yeah. That's it. We'll teach him about Germanic languages. Yeah,
Battle of Hastings.
Is that a sign of the bad teaching system that I've never heard of Karl Marx before? You guys taught me.
No, not really. Because generally, in like the UK, Ireland, America and stuff, they wouldn't, I guess, openly discuss that stuff.
Yeah, he's not really taught to children.
Justified.
Yeah, because we get too woke if we knew.
Many months
later. Yeah, there'd be big issues if they were teaching Karl Marx to children.
Yeah, people sure, actually,
they probably had enough of arguments about teaching the Reformation.
Yeah, it's true.
They have whole paragraphs in about the Counter-Reformation, which is a lot of shite.
Well, what I was going to say was, do you think it's bullshit that they teach religion in schools? Like,
well, they should probably teach religion, but not strictly Catholicism.
Like theology.
It should be built, yeah, it should be built into history studies. In my opinion. I mean, it's all from historical events and that. But it's when it's taught by a priest that it's problematic.
But this is it. But like when we're like 5, 6, 7, we're taught you have to pray before you eat, you have to pray after you eat, you have to pray before you go home, because that's what God wants. And you know, if you don't do what God wants, you'll go to hell forever.
He's so wanker, this God fella, isn't he?
Like we're taught this at like the earliest stage in our development, like in our educational development, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Born with guilt.
Yeah.
Born with sin.
Because I know, Kieran, you and me have before said, like, I hate the idea of dying. We've all said it. Like, the idea of dying is so scary. And it's because we've been taught, well, actually, when you die, you kind of just get a second chance and you go to heaven and it's grand. It's like a computer game. You just wake up again. It's fine. But we're all realizing now in our fucking, like, mid-adulthood that that's not the case. And we've wasted the last 30 years of our life. I play the fucking euphonium, man. That's my legacy. Jesus Christ.
Is actually, now you mention it, is a legacy important to anyone? It, just in general, not really like what you do professionally, but is a legacy important for you?
Yeah, I kind of like to pretend it isn't, but I, in the back of my head, it's probably there. That if, as soon as I die, if people just completely forget all about me. Jesus, that's a grim thought.
Yeah, but like you wouldn't know any different, right? Well, that's true. That we know of.
You know? This we is press it. That like, Buddhist I'd love button. To see, I'd love to see like my funeral and see who's there, see what, you know, is it fun? Is it sad? Like how many people turn off?
Fun.
But it, by the time it happens, it won't fucking matter. And I think in a way, if you can look at your legacy as being like your afterlife, like it's the memories you give your family and friends when you're gone to look back on and laugh or like cry or think you're a dickhead or think you're sound, like that's it. But then that's kind of sad because eventually they're going to die and eventually their kids are going to die and eventually you'll just become like, it'll be like you never existed.
Yeah.
What I'd be kind of afraid of is that if somehow I end up becoming famous after I die or something, like if they discover I'm brilliant at painting these fucking doodles on a notepad or something, and they end up in the Louvre and all this, and then people look up my life and know every detail of my life, and like they're looking through my internet conversations with people. Yeah, that is a pretty imagine. Sickening thought to me.
Connor Flynn, master yeah. painter.
The shit I've said in group chats over the years, like my legacy would just not stand up the test of time.
It's good exposure for the podcast though, so I'm not against it. You know.
That's it. Like do you ever think like Kieran, someday Ollie and Lily could listen back to this and be like, so that's what her dad was like when he was in his 20s? Like that's so cringe. Like
yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But that's also lovely, yeah. But I also think that that's kind of nice that they might be listening to this in 20 years' time, right? Cringing, thinking I'm sound like an idiot and I'm completely different than I am now. But like yeah. they have it. I mean, I don't.
Every time you know, talk about Solskjaer, you'll be like, "Is he talking about me?"
Yeah. Or they're talking about 20-time Premier League winner Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
How wrong you were. But yeah, I think it's cool, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I guess there isn't, because it's only like a recent phenomenon. But like there's nothing stored apart from like maybe pictures. There's nothing like audio or visual of our grandparents or our parents that we can really, you know, today and just sit down and be like, oh, I'll look back at, you know, grandpa, whoever. Whereas potentially what we're doing now, it might.
I was thinking, not that recently, but I've thought that the way people who don't know their like birth parents or something, and they spend all their time trying to find and search for their parents because they're like, I need to know who I am. I need this identity. But sure, I know who I am and I know everything. Oh, sorry, hang on.
What an absolute cliffhanger.
Who is he? Who is he?
Sorry, no, there was a knock at the door there. Sorry.
No, you're a friend. You're a friend. What's right.
the thing? We thought you were getting chopped up or something.
Yeah, I was just murdered. Woods. Oh, yeah. So, like, they have this idea that once they find out who they are and know about their family tree and all this kind of stuff, that they'll be at peace and they'll be happy that way. But, like, I know exactly who I am and I'm not interested in learning about my family tree because I don't think it's going to do anything for me. I think it's a bit of an illusion people have that there's pieces of themselves that are missing and once they get it, they'll be happy. And like, once they get this thing, they'll be content and everything will be okay and life will go on. Whereas people, even billionaires who have everything and know who they are and all this stuff, they still aren't happy. So I question whether it's possible for human beings to be happy.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't there scientific study to confirm that too? That is just in our way to we're not just, be content. Yeah.
condemned to just never be happy for that long.
Yeah,
but it's like the thing of, I guess, the we underestimate the, it's kind of terrifying, really, that we are just like kind of bags of like meat, but have such potential in our thoughts and abilities to change and do things. It's like, I don't know, it's like putting yourself into gotta be really careful how I say this. It's like putting the mind that you have now into a tiny baby, and you know, expecting the baby to know what to do. You know, can you imagine how horrifying that is if a kid has the same thought processes that you currently have, but mm-hmm. just can't move. I had to be really careful. I can't explain it better than other than I still don't know if I got my point across, because
would you rather be a goose with your mind, or would you just rather be a goose? You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a heavy question.
It's like,
because you'd go mad. But yeah, because you'd go mad.
Like, it'd be like the worst prison.
Yeah. You wouldn't know how to express yourself. You couldn't speak. You couldn't move to the things you needed to. You'd shit yourself. Geese probably shit themselves too, right? Like, that'd be horrifying. And that's kind of what we're evolving like, right? We're evolving a little bit quicker in our mind than we are in our abilities. So we're just sat here being like, fuck, better die.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, imagine being a goose and having to, like, the only way to get rid of any sexual frustration is to fuck another goose, but you have a human brain. So you're still a human fucking a goose. But...
Yeah.
I mean...
But no one would know.
I'd do it.
Yeah. Would you fuck a goose if no one ever found out?
If it was front page news the next day. Goose with mind of human fucks other goose.
That's it. But like, it probably would be fun in some ways to just go around shitting on things, and you know, you wouldn't have to worry about like your dignity and stuff. Just be naked the whole time.
But what if then, you
like,
did?
You'd be eating like, what do geese eat? Worms and shit, or is it fish?
Yeah, I don't worms, even know. Breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Ooh, and you'd be a human. I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't like ducks and geese have those like weird throats too, with like all the razors inside, kind of thing. I think that's if they eat fish. Google it; it's pretty weird. Okay. Flynn, bring that up on the big screen.
Like, would you rather
goose
be
razor throw?
Yeah, would you rather be a human mind in the body of a goose, or a Spurs supporter?
Both doomed to a life of like idiocracy, I guess.
Eating shit,
watching shit, fucking geese.
Oh yeah, they do have a lot of geese spikes in their throat. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Then yeah, you wouldn't want to. I guess you wouldn't want to be a human. Fucking a goose.
Sticking your goose dick in that spiky goose throat.
They have corkscrew dicks, though, don't they?
Do they, geese? Yeah,
I think so.
I don't
like
know.
Twizzlers.
Man, like birds are just so fucked up. Like birds are. Really, and the way they puke into their baby's mouths to feed them. Come on,
that's the same for humans, man.
that's my point. Like, imagine if you're like, right, Ali, dinner time. And just letting him
sometimes I cook,
just letting him shit in his bed. Like, outrageous behavior for a parent.
I was going to say, yeah, sometimes my cooking is that bad to him that I may as well just puke in a bowl for him. He'd probably eat that quicker.
Yeah. But well, Ollie, this is lobster. Don't you like lobster?
No.
You ever do that? Just get something really expensive. You're like, this is fucking like beef loin, Ollie. This is €45. Or does he just eat lobster?
And he's just like, what's euro? It's like, oh, God, there's so many levels. How do I tell him about the punt? It's not enough time.
When he's old enough, he'll understand.
He'll be like, my God, it was 45 euro each loin. That will be my legacy, I suppose.
Well, it's something.
Yeah.
Most people have no legacy.
Yeah. That's why that's why these crazy guys like build big ass statues of themselves.
Yeah. To be fair, it's worked so far.
Yeah, it's true. Every some crazy guy we know has a statue.
For some of them. It's crazy to think that the majority of human history is lost, though, because we've only been writing stuff down for about 10,000 years, but humans have been around for like 10 times that. And all the crazy shit that must have happened that we'll never know about.
And how it was like a custom to basically, like, if you defeat someone in war, it's like, oh, obliterate everything.
Yeah. There's
many things that existed that we have no idea of because the fuckers just defeat them in battle and said, well, better get their firstborns too. And here we are.
If so you defeated someone in battle, what would be the way you'd absolutely ensure that people would remember you? Assuming you're like a king or can build whatever you want.
Mm.
Well, what has stood the test of time tends to be pyramids.
That's very true.
I thought you meant like, how would you torture them?
No. I mean, how would you put down a marker for people in thousands of years to be like, oh, that was Kieran, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I think it's in, is it maybe Nepal? No, maybe not, because it's a bit hilly. In that kind of region, anyway, there's like that massive, like 100-foot statue, where it's like it's just humongous of said dude. I think he's a Buddhist something, not Buddha, but it's just humongous. And you can see it for like miles away.
It'd just be that with like a palace jersey on it.
It would just be Clinton Morrison, that size. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. A sure way to do is just build a big, massive sculpture of yourself, really, isn't it? It's the only way.
Just a big, massive something. That's why the pyramids are still there, is because it's too fucking big to move or smash
people
about.
People can't be arsed.
Would you make a big, like, 100-foot-high version of you, like, bollock naked with a big, massive hanging schlong?
People did
But that's
that.
The other thing. Yeah, people do that, right? In history books, it's like Henry VIII, very recent in terms of history.
Mm.
In his armor, he'd have the whole like bulge around his groin.
Yep.
There's filled with air.
Yeah, but who was the Egyptian then who was like, I don't know, just make a big massive cat or something? Like, when did it change from like, just make a big dick to like, I don't know, just throw a load of cats there? It'd be grand.
It's natural progression, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then most like the pyramids of years, and the Sphinx, they were buried under sand for most of the time, though. And the pyramids today look totally different to what they looked like before. Like, they used to have gold plate at the top and stuff, solid gold,
and marble, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But it's all gone.
Yep,
all stripped it away. Stones.
People still think that they were like made by aliens or by vibrations, like to carry all the stones and stuff.
Yeah. It must have been mental because it's like Stonehenge too. You know, the where the rocks originate from is like miles and miles away, and people are like, God, they must have needed like 10,000 people to do this. It's like they definitely had 10,000 people, and they were definitely slaves. They definitely just left them when they fell on the way. You know,
you can do a lot of crushed.
I mean, the fucking world we see in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least we've moved on from that.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
I say that as I'm typing on an iPhone.
It's true.
That's true.
Yeah. Fun fact, because we spoke about the pyramids. It's not exactly. It might be. Is the pyramids in the Sahara Desert? I know the Sahara Desert is big, but anyway, the Sahara Desert, the winds that blow the sand from the Sahara Desert blows and fertilizes the soil in the Amazon, which shows how important the ecosystems of the world are. You know, if the winds change or aren't as vigorous, that could have an impact on forests, which we all know has a big knock-on effect.
Which we all learned in geography class from learning stuff off by heart.
Yeah, we did. Well, that was a really nice circle, wasn't it? Because I said that without thinking. That was definitely something we memorized. Perfect. Fuck.
We have 3 minutes left on this meeting.
Okay. Well, RIP Super League, and Jurgen Klopp is still there. He's he's got integrity and no regrets.
Yeah, what happened to Arsenal since? Oh, yeah, they lost a few games or something. Tune in next week to learn how Arsenal have done.
We'll just playing that clip again.
What happened this week? Yeah. Well, Arsenal had another disappointing defeat.
I know. Yeah. Between 4th and 10th now is just like a boring-ass zone for fans. So bring on next season, I say.
Europa
bring on
League.
The Euros. Bring on the Euros.
Yeah. We can do Europa League. Not Europa League. You can do the European Championships fantasy football. And not invite Dave.
No. Yeah, we want to win. We want to win at some point. Yeah. That'd be nice.
I just want some happiness in fantasy football. That's all I want. All right. We'll head over to our sponsors. The lads who wrote the podcast jingle.
Who the fuck would sponsor this podcast, considering all we talk about is football and not very well? And then we talk about debt. We talked about debt and like the lack of meaning in life.
Yeah.
The past 3 podcasts in a row.
Have we? That's probably my fault. Yeah. I've just been thinking so much about it.
Because you turned 30.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on the way out.
Maybe like a Donovan's funeral home or something might give us a few bob for the podcast.
But people sponsor podcasts that have nothing to do with their product. Like NordVPN. Fuck
yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Because there's no regulations.
Will sponsor you if you have a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just throw everything at the wall because people who listen to podcasts are very easily influenced. They're more gullible people.
Really?
Yep. And then, I guess that brings an end to our podcast where we will spend the evening on our Apple products.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Don't do drugs. Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Don't do drugs. We'll talk about drugs next time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good segue from death and exams.
You've been listening to the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.